Just help it on its way. We just help it on its way. In spite of me, your music plays. I hear it. Ever present, ever true. I just love to watch it grow. I just love to watch it grow. When I hear by chance, we join the dance without knowing. Steps without placing any bets, we risk it all.
Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. We bring you a program with music and meditation and a discourse by Osho. It seems that the period when Osho was here inspired a lot of musicians to make unforgettable music. Beautiful music from the world of Osho. It really has been a special period. Altogether 1 hour of music and meditation for you to relax and just enjoy. The discourse today is from the series The Secret of Secrets, Volume 1, Chapter Number 2. Osho is answering a question from somebody who is expressing that sometimes he has these doubts towards the Master. In the discourse, Osho explains that understanding doubt can lead to even deeper trust. Also, he talks about the difference between belief and trust. Belief, the repression that comes with it, and the guilt that has been created by the religions. Trust, however, means a totally different path. It starts with doubt, and through transformation, you can reach the inner feeling of trust. Thank you.
Lately, several friends have asked me if I was skeptical towards sannyas, the ashram, and you. I had to admit to the truth and said yes, at times I was. This left me with a feeling of guilt. Have I committed some unforgivable, sacrilegious crime, or is it natural to be skeptical out of being sure? I do not know if you are enlightened. I can only feel your beauty and trust. Faith is afraid of doubt. Afraid because it has repressed it. And whatsoever you repress, you will remain afraid of it. Because it is always there deep inside you, waiting to take revenge. And whenever the opportunity arises, it is going to explode in you with vengeance. Faith is sitting on an earthquake. And every day, the doubt becomes stronger, because every day you have to repress it. Sooner or later, it is more than you can repress. It is more than your faith. Then it simply throws your faith away. But trust is not afraid of doubt. Because trust is not against doubt. Trust uses doubt . Trust knows how to use the energy contained in doubt itself. That's the difference between faith and trust. Faith is false. It creates a pseudo kind of religion. It creates hypocrites. Trust has a sublime beauty and truth about it. It grows through doubt. It uses doubt as manure. It transforms doubt. Doubt is a friend. Doubt is not the enemy. And unless your trust has moved through many doubts, it will remain impotent. From where it will gather strength, from where it will gather integration. If there is no challenge, it is bound to remain weak. Doubt is a challenge. If your trust can respond to the challenge, can befriend your doubt, it will grow through it. And you will not be a split person, deep down doubting and just on the surface faithful believing. You will have a kind of unity. You will be an individual, undivided. And that individuality is what is called soul in the old religions. The soul is arrived through doubt, not through believing. Belief is just a mask. You are hiding your original face. Trust is a transformation. You are becoming more illumined. And because you are using doubt as a challenge, as opportunity, there is never any repression. Slowly, doubt disappears because its energy has been taken by trust. Doubt, in fact, is nothing but trust growing. Doubt is trust on the way. Think of doubt always in such a way that doubt is trust on the way. Doubt is inquiry, and trust is the fulfillment of the inquiry. Doubt is the question, and trust is the answer. The answer is not against the question. There will be no possibility of any answer if there is no question. The question has created the occasion for the answer to happen. So please, never feel guilty around me. I am utterly against any kind of guilt. Guilt is absolutely wrong, but it has been used by the priests and the politicians and the Puritans down the ages for centuries. Guilt is a strategy. A strategy to exploit people. Make them feel guilty. Once you have succeeded in making them feel guilty, they will be your slaves. Because of the guilt, they will never be integrated enough. Because of the guilt, they will remain divided. Because of the guilt, they will never be able to accept themselves. They will be always condemning. Because of the guilt, they will be ready to believe in anything. Just to get rid of guilt, they will do anything. Any nonsense ritual, they will perform. Just to get rid of the guilt. Down the centuries, the priest has made people guilty. All the so-called religions exist on your guilt. They don't exist on the existence of God. They have nothing to do with God, and God has nothing to do with them. They exist on your guilt. You are afraid. You know that you are wrong. You have to seek somebody's help who is not wrong. You know that you are unworthy. You have to bow down. You have to serve those who are worthy. You know that you cannot trust yourself because you are divided. Only an undivided person can trust himself, his feeling, his intuition. You are always shaking, trembling inside. You need somebody to lean to. And once you lean to somebody, once you become dependent on somebody, you remain childish. You never grow. Your mind age remains that of a child. You never attain to any maturity. You never become independent. And the priest does not want you to become independent. Independent, and you are lost to him. Dependent, you are his whole marketplace, his whole business. I am utterly against any kind of guilt. Remember it always. that if you start feeling guilty about something around me, then you are doing it on your own. Then you are still carrying the voices of your parents, the priests within you. You have not yet heard me. You have not yet listened to me. I want you to be totally free of all guilt. Once you are free of guilt, you are a religious person. That's my definition of a religious person. Use doubt. Doubt is beautiful. Because it is only through doubt that the trust attains to maturity. How it can be otherwise? It has to be beautiful. It is only through doubt that the trust becomes centered. It is only through doubt that the trust flowers, blooms. It is the dark night of the doubt that brings the golden morning closer to you. The dark night is not against the dawn. The dark night is the womb for the dawn. The dawn is getting ready in the very being of the dark night. Think of doubt and trust as complementary. Just as men and women are, night and day, summer and winter, life and death. Always think those pairs, inevitably, in terms of complementariness. Never think in terms of opposition. Even though on the surface they seem to be opposed, deep down they are friends, helping each other. Think of a person who has no trust. He will not have any doubt either, because he has nothing to doubt about. Just think of a person who has no trust at all. How can he doubt? What he has to doubt? Only a man of trust has something to doubt. Because you trust, hence you doubt. Your doubt proves your trust, not otherwise. Think of a man who cannot doubt. How can he trust? If he is even incapable of doubt, how can he be capable of trust? Trust is the highest form of the same energy. Doubt is the lowest rung of the same ladder, and trust is the highest rung of the same ladder. Use doubt. Use joyfully. There is no need to feel guilty at all. It is perfectly human and natural to feel sometimes great doubts about me, great doubt about what is going on here. It is perfectly human. Nothing is extraordinary in it. If it doesn't happen, then something seems to be abnormal. But remember that one has to reach to the trust. Use doubt, but don't forget the goal. Don't forget the highest rung in the ladder. Even if you are standing on the lowest, look at the highest. You have to reach there. In fact, doubt is pushing you towards that. Because nobody can feel at ease with doubt. Have you not watched it? When there is doubt, there is uneasiness. Don't change that uneasiness. Don't interpret that uneasiness as guilt. Yes, uneasiness is there, because doubt means you are uncertain of the ground you are standing on. Doubt means you are ambiguous. Doubt means you are yet not a unity. How you can be at ease? You are a crowd. You are not one person. You are many persons. How you can be at ease? There must be great noise inside you. One part pulling you into this direction and another part into that direction. How can you grow if you are pulled in so many directions simultaneously? There is bound to be unease, tension, anguish, anxiety. Nobody can live with doubt and in doubt. Doubt pushes you towards trust. Doubt says, go and find a place where you can relax, where you can be totally. Doubt is your friend. It simply says, this is not the home. Go ahead, search, seek, inquire. It creates the urge to inquire, to explore. Once you start seeing doubt as a friend, as an occasion, not against trust, but pushing you towards it, suddenly guilt disappears. There is great joy. Even when you doubt joyously. You doubt consciously. And you use doubt to find trust. It's absolutely normal. You say, I do not know if you are enlightened. How can you know it? There is no way to know it unless you become enlightened. How can you know what has happened to me? Unless it happens to you too. It's absolutely right to feel that you cannot trust me sometimes. The miracle is that sometimes you can trust. Only those few moments will be enough. Don't be worried. Trust has such infinite power. Trust is just like light, and doubt is like darkness. Just a small candle of trust is enough to destroy the darkness of ages. The darkness cannot say that I have lived in this place for so long. I cannot leave so easily. And I cannot leave only because of this small candle. Even a small candle is more potential than the darkness of ages, of centuries, of thousands of lives. But it will have to go. Once the light is there, it has to go. Those few moments of trust, let them be far and few in between, don't be worried. They are enough to destroy all your doubts slowly, slowly. And by destroying, I mean just releasing the energy contained in doubt. Just breaking the cell called doubt. And deep inside you will find pure energy to trust. Once it is released, more and more trust will be available to you. You say, I do not know if you are enlightened. Good that you don't believe. If you start believing, you will stop seeking. a believer never moves. He has already believed. That's why there are millions of people in the churches, temples, mosques, gurudwaras, worshipping, but their worship is out of belief. Because it is out of belief, those millions of people remain irreligious. They don't search God. They don't seek God. They have already accepted. Their acceptance is lame. They have not struggled for it. They have not earned it. You have to fight with. You have to struggle. You have to earn. Nothing is without a price in life. You have to pay the price. They have not paid the price. And they think just by worshipping in a temple they will attain. They are utter fools. They are wasting their time. All their worship is just an illusion. The really religious person cannot believe. He searches. Because he cannot believe, he remains in doubt. And nobody can be at rest with doubt. One has to seek and search and to find. Doubt goes on gnawing at your being. Goes on goading you. Search, seek, find. And don't be contented before you have found. Good that you cannot believe. Only remember, there is no need to believe and there is no need to disbelieve. And that's happening. And I am happy you say, I can only feel your beauty and trust. That's all that is needed. That's enough, more than enough. That will become the boat to the other shore. If you can feel my love, if you can feel my trust in you, if you can feel my hope in you, if you can see that something beautiful has happened, although you don't know what exactly it is, you cannot define it, and you cannot explain it. But if you can even feel that something of the beyond, that's what beauty is. Beauty is always of the beyond. Whenever you see a rose flower and you say it is beautiful, what do you mean? You say you have seen something of the beyond. Something invisible has become visible to you. You cannot prove it. If somebody else is standing by your side denies that he can't see any beauty in the rose, you cannot prove it to him. There is no way. You will have just to shrug your shoulders. You will say then, nothing can be done about it. I see and you don't see. And that is that. You cannot go to the scientist to dissect the rose and to find whether it contains beauty or not. It does not contain. The beauty is not contained in the rose. The beauty is from the beyond, simply dances on the rose. Those who have eyes, they will see. Those who don't have eyes, they will not see. You can take the rose to the chemist, he will dissect it. He will find everything that is in the rose, but beauty is not in the rose. Rose was just an occasion for beauty to descend from the beyond. Rose was just a screen for the beauty to play upon it. The rose was just a stage for the drama to happen. It is not the drama itself. You take the rose away, you dissect the rose, you cut it into pieces, you find all the constituents. But beauty is not a constituent of the rose. Although, without the rose, the beauty cannot descend. It is just like the sun rises in the morning and the rays are dancing on the lotus pond. You don't see the rays themselves. You can't see. That's what the secret of the golden flower says. You can't see essence. You can't see life. All that you see are only consequences. Have you ever seen the light itself? No, you have never seen. If you think you have seen light itself, you have not thought about it. You have not pondered over it. You have seen lighted things. You have not seen light itself. You have seen the lighted pond. You have seen the lighted lotus. You have seen the lighted face of your woman or man or your child. You have seen the lighted world. But have you seen the light itself? If there is nothing for the light to play upon, you will not be able to see it. That's why the moment the astronauts go away from the earth, even in the daytime, the sky is dark, utterly dark, because you cannot see light itself, and there is nothing for the light to play upon. Hence, the infinite sky is dark. You see light on the stars, because stars become the playground for the light. But surrounding the stars, there is all darkness, because there is nothing to obstruct the light. And unless light is obstructed, you cannot see it. You cannot see enlightenment. You can see only the consequence of it. You cannot see what has happened to me, but you can see something has happened. Something like X. There is no need to call it enlightenment either. Just X will do. Something mysterious has happened. And the more you feel me, the more you will become aware of it. And the more you become aware of it, something inside you will start responding to you, to it. What has happened to me can trigger a process in you. It cannot be the cause for your enlightenment, remember. Your enlightenment will not be the effect of my enlightenment. There is no cause-effect relationship between the master and the disciple. There is a totally different kind of relationship. Just in this century, Carl Gustav Jung was able to penetrate into the mystery of that different kind of relationship. He calls it synchronicity. Cause and effect is a scientific relationship. Synchronicity is a poetic relationship. By synchronicity is meant that if something has happened somewhere and you become available to it, you remain vulnerable to it, something can start responding into you parallel to it, and it has not been the cause to it. It cannot cause it. It is just like somebody is playing beautiful music, and a great desire arises in you to dance. It is not caused by the music. It is a parallel response in you. Something that was fast asleep in you, the energy to dance, has been hit. Not caused, just has been hit, provoked, inspired. It is synchronicity. If it is a cause, then it will happen to everybody. For example, you are here. 3,000 sannyasins are present. I am available to all of you, but you all are not available to me. Or even if you are available to me, you are available in different ways. The quality differs, the quantity differs. If I can be a cause to your enlightenment, then all the 3,000 of you will become enlightened. But I am not the cause. I can only become a catalytic agent. But for that, you have to be open towards me. If I was a cause, there was no need for you to be open to me. Fire burns. Whether the wood is open to it or not, it is a cause. Water evaporates at 100 degrees heat. Whether it is open to the heat or not doesn't matter. Cause and effect is a blind relationship. It is materialistic. It is between matter and matters. But synchronicity is not material. It is spiritual. It is poetic. It is a love affair. If you become open to me, something will start happening to you. And remember, I am not the cause of it. You need not thank me. You need not be grateful to me. I am not the cause of it. If anybody is the cause of it, it is you. Because you opened towards me. I could not have done it alone. There is no doing on my part. All that is needed is I am present, you also be present here, and something will start happening. And nobody is doing it. Neither I am doing it, nor you are doing it. I am available, you become available. And these two energies fall into a love affair. They start dancing together. So don't be worried that you cannot know about my enlightenment. This is enough. You say, I can only feel your beauty and trust. This will do. And once it has happened in you, you will know. To know a Buddha, one has to become a Buddha.
He was born on this day. Into this crazy world he came. A rebel in every way. And he was trouble from the start. He took his freedom, he would not part. No matter what they would say, yeah. changed into my very soul. Oh, your words have wings, they've taken flight, they set the night on fire. It's what your silence is saying. Oh, yeah. You are such a friend to me, way beyond anything I ever thought I'd be. Give your love and make me laugh until I'm drunk and my heart is just dancing. Oh, and oh, I don't call you by name much anymore. Have reached into my very soul. And, oh, your words have wings, they've taken flight, they set the night on fire. Oh, still, it's what your silence is saying.
Thank you.
This was Osho Radio. You listened to Music Before the Discourse by Miten, a song called In Spite of Me from his CD Blown Away. There was violin music by Nandin called Cross Currents from her CD Pure Delight, and an instrumental piece by Anugama and Ariel called Morning Breeze. After the discourse, Maniko was singing about her master, Trouble from the Start, from her CD Standing Naked. After this, a wonderful piece of music from the world of Osho, the Gurdjieff Dances, called Winds of the East. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you liked the program. Share it with your friends and come back to Osho Radio. Our last song is from Raji, from her CD Love Trust, and it's called Thanks to You. Goodbye, everybody. Take care and namaste.
Another day, another chance, another step, another day.